Hello and welcome to a special Dwarfcast from Dimension Jump.
Hey.
Hello. Hello.
My name's Jonathan Capps.
Mine isn't.
I'm John Hoare.
And I'm Tanya Jones.
Ian Sives.
And we are live from my bedroom.
We're live.
We're live.
Are we live at this
We're recording live, if there's any other type of recording. I will actually make sure that whenever anyone listens to this Dwarfcast, I will be in my bedroom to make that statement true. and everyone else. Okay, right, well, obviously we haven't experienced anything really to comment on.
But, well, wow. There has been the fiasco, once again, of the booklet.
There has.
which is obviously amazingly important.
Can I ask you something, Ian? What did you do, you know, this past few weeks about the booklet? Did you mention anything about it?
I mentioned that if it needs proofreading, then I would do it. And it obviously hasn't been proofread, and I was never asked to proofread it. And in fact, the thing that I wrote for it has been chopped up and farted about with until it becomes rubbish and it makes me look like a twat.
What your mistake was asking.
Yeah.
You should have said, it needs proofreading.
Yeah.
Send it to me now.
I actually didn't think it would be... I mean, it is actually... a bit better
it's
this year.
It's definitely better than
it
last
is
year.
Better this year. And
it makes sense.
And it makes sense. They haven't got the visual effects guys page, which was some stream of consciousness nonsense that I couldn't understand.
There was definitely narcotic drugs involved in that.
But the sad thing is, I like the cover. It's nice paper. The layout's fine. I mean, it's, you know, better, but it's fine. But what I don't understand is why. When it's been offered to be proofread. But it's been offered to be proofread, and I mean, money's been spent on it. It's clear money has been spent on it. It's not some cheap thing that's been knocked together in a day.
Well, absolutely.
All that's needed is a proofread, and it'd be absolutely fine.
Hello, everyone! Now, is it best if I stand here where the rather meagre spotlight is? I'll start here anyway. And I'll just pour myself a nice glass of still water. That's the kind of crazy person that I am. I've just been saying down the bottom there that it's usually when you know, if I'm here normally I might do a sort of Sunday lunchtime and everyone's got a stinking hangover. You know, that's been through sort of 36 hours of heavy drinking. And here I am when you're really bright and fresh and just very pissed. So it's going to have a nice different feel to the whole evening. I have bent over backwards, sort of, so to speak. Once in 1978. To get here this weekend. It's a very busy weekend for me, but I have, as I say, moved mountains to be here, and I've really thank you. Usual divorce threats are coming in, but you know, here I am. So I'm very, very honoured to be here. It's always a good gig, and I'm still intrigued by this karaoke business. But I could really mess it up, couldn't I? I could sort of swap all the DVDs, CDs. Sorry, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, bollocks to all that. Let's have a question, shall we not, to get things kicked off with, and then we'll see where that takes us. Hands up who wants to ask a question. I'll go right to the right here, and I'll the girl in the red T-shirt then.
I'm casting agency, and I'm not having much luck. Any advice?
That's a rather serious question, isn't it? just join a casting agency or an agency. Well, maybe you should try and do a... Have you got a sort of demo video or something? Or a... No? Showreel? That's what they call them, no? Have you been to an actual proper agent who can sort of get on the phone or the emails and sell you properly? No? Have you had a good photograph done? Well, there's three things you can do. Sort of spread the net nice and wide.
This is Friday night. We've got what have we got tonight? Yeah, we've actually got the quiz as normal, which we're looking to
cheat on clearly.
Well, yeah,
wanting to stay together.
That's actually a stupid thing. They sort out the packs that we get, and every pack has a team number. Mm. So you are basically chucked into teams with people you don't know. you don't want to know, you don't like. So what we've done is got together all our group of friends, and that's how we're doing the quiz. We're doing it as a group of friends. Fuck what numbers we were given for our quiz, and it's something they should abolish next year and let people find their own tables.
I do agree with that, actually.
The thing is, if they're worried about people being on their own, all they have to do is escort people to certain tables and say, go on.
But it doesn't. I don't think it actually happens. I think that people are not a pack of cunts. If there is... if there is room on our table, I mean, there is a bit of room on our table, and people walk in and they don't know where to sit, we'd chat over to them and say, look, come over here. No one is going to be left alone.
As long as they don't mind listening to us bollock on about the movie, everybody's welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. It just, you know.
It's quite a good schedule, actually. I'm quite impressed with the schedule. The important thing is that there is one space for the auctions, and that is Sunday.
And that's half an hour, which, even if it stretches into an hour, I'm fine with that.
I'm definitely pleased with that.
The problem last year, and I think the reason I came away with quite such a negative impression last year, is one of the last things to happen was another auction, which dragged on and on and on, and I felt like slitting my throat. It's a real shame because the previous year the auction was one of my favourite bits.
Yeah. Well, this year the auction is pretty much the last event.
Well, that's fine as long as it doesn't drag on. Yeah. As long as it doesn't drag on, we're fine.
Next question. Chap at the back there with the glasses. Did you ever consider doing a Robert for the show and submitting any script ideas or plot ideas for any episodes? No. Because I'm a shit writer. I didn't really want to test Doug's patience with, of how he'd be able to say, Chris, no. Ed Meyer used to do it very well. He used to sort of, if we suggested something just in a scene, he would sort of go, yes, I can see where you're coming from, but fuck off, that's crap. So, if I'd submitted any ideas, then Doug would have asked me lots of serious questions, like, well, what happens then? And I wouldn't have any answer. So I was just, I'd just rather sit in the coffee bar and wait till the lines come. And, doing the acting is enough, was what I'm saying. Let's not try and take on too much, yeah? From my own point of view. I'm not a writer. Right, well, I'm kind of a writer, yeah, but not a comedy script writer. Robert, though, is obviously a very well-qualified and proficient writer. Please tell him that I'm singing his praises. And he's very good at it, so, there we go. Right, next question. Somewhere in the middle of the room. Okay, chap on the same table.
A hideous scenario has happened. You are forced to go on holiday for a week in a caravan with either Gordon Britas or Arnold Rimmer. Which would you choose?
That's a very good question, actually. I would probably choose to go with Gordon Britas. Because he would keep the place tidy. He would encourage me to help him keep the place tidy. And he probably wouldn't drink much of the alcohol. Rimmer, unfortunately, would probably go completely spare after 2 days and try and murder me in the middle of the night. So, I think Britas is slightly, he's probably more sane, basically, is what I'm saying, but completely mad. I'd probably pick Britas, which is no disrespect to Rimsey, who obviously I owe my life to. But he just would not be a hell of a laugh to be on a boat with.
Right, well, I'll go around the table and ask what
the fuck is going on.
Yeah, just what you're most looking forward to events wise, Ian Symes.
You've thrown me.
I haven't. this is how well planned we are.
I'm really looking forward to Craig Charles' bit.
Yeah.
Because obviously, apart from anything else, he hasn't been to DJ for 8 years, and secondly, I want to see if he talks about his crack habit. Mm-hmm. He's admitted that he takes it now, so...
Has he actually admitted it, though?
Yeah, he's going into rehab.
I think we'll
no,
be
no,
right,
no, he's going into rehab, but has he actually...
Yeah, in the latest... When it came out that he'd been apparently so-called let off, with getting a caution. Mm. It was that Craig had admitted that he had taken the drug and that he had a problem and he was taking...
It's not that I don't believe it, because I believe it 100%, and let's face it, we believed it 100% ever since the story broke. It's just I get annoyed when I don't see first-person quoting of what Craig said.
Yeah. Well, really pisses me off.
I was about to say, do we think Daily Mirror journalists could be swarming the place?
I hope so, because I've got some nice new boots and I want to see how good they are at kicking people in the testicles.
It's such a delightful bunch.
It could be that it's just really, you know, you can't get any more news out of Craig Charles, to be honest.
Well, they can fucking well try. Yeah. It's the Mirror you talk, right? This is the same newspaper that had like about a 2-year-long campaign called Get the Gnome, where they were trying to dig up dirt on Ian Hislop.
Oh, God. They
ran it for 2 years, then found out that there wasn't any dirt.
I'm forgetting Piers isn't in charge anymore.
It's got worse. It's clearly got worse, because this is a non-Piers Morgan thing.
But the Mirror hasn't ever been any good. That's a lie. It hasn't ever been any good since I ever glanced eyes on a copy from about 1985 onwards. I suspect it was quite a good paper in the 60s, because there's a lovely... Well, do you remember that advert for the 60s? In 60s advert we saw.
Do you remember the
60s? Beautiful, beautiful advert. I'll put it online so you can see it.
The two young people dancing away and this old funny guy going, oh, can't you stop them? They're disgusting.
Stop you mean? I'm sorry. Oh, fantastic.
The Daily Mirror's young paper. Young people.
Tell us about your new film, Chris. Back in business.
Sorry?
Tell us about your new film.
Oh, that film. Yeah, we filmed that about 15 months ago now, I think. Has it had publicity at all? Has it been released at some point?
It's got a website now, apparently.
Has it? Okay, yeah. I mean, I've seen a couple of viewings of it. It's one of the most bizarre films I think I've seen, really. Or one bit of it is very weird. But it's actually, like most of these things, you know, you get handed a script and you kind of, at this stage in your life, nothing's ever going to be as good as Red Dwarf. You know? Or, you know, indeed something like Brutus, you know. So when I get handed a script, I'm thinking, well, I thought, to be honest, that they needed to get a good comedy writer to sort of go through the whole plot and sort of, you know, tighten it all up. But they said they didn't. That wasn't going to happen. That's the expression they use these days. That's not going to happen. They were English, but that's Chris, that isn't going to happen. That's what they said. It wasn't going to happen. So I said, fair enough, it's not going to happen. How much am I getting paid? I'll do it. So, Dennis Waterman, Martin Kemp, Amanda Joanna Taylor from, she was in Hollyoaks, young guy who was in that ice skating thing. He did quite well, actually.
Bruce Borsley!
Stefan Booth, yeah, Stefan Booth.
No,
someone's going to record this and send Stefan. There you go. What's his name again? Stefan, if you're using this, I'm really sorry, mate. But I'm not, no good with names. And who else was in it? Brian Blessed. So it was actually a really good, fun thing to do, you know. And it was more. Dennis Waterman was extraordinary. And, you know, Martin Kemp was kind of just as you imagine he would be. So it was fun, you know. It was filming, and it was proper filming. The crew were brilliant. So they were all the guys who work on some of the main, you know, big budget Hollywood stuff. So they were. It was technically very good, but it was a low budget British Brit flick. And I think it's going to be the kind of thing that goes back to the old days of a family viewing. You know, it's not. There's no shagging and swearing and stuff in it, you know, it's all pretty... Sorry, bloody times, isn't it?
Don't you get dressed up as something at a certain point in the film?
Yeah, I do. I get dressed up as a sort of robot of some sort. I don't know, it's so long ago, I can't really remember much about it, so look on the website, Back in Business, and it may even get released, and I heard October this year, so... But it's it's a very straight part, actually. It's not that funny, really. It wasn't that funny, but I don't know. It was looking for a job, you know. But the main work I've been doing over the last 6 months has been for Discovery, a thing called Massive Speed, which obviously is kind of topical at the moment, but for bloody wrong reasons. And I did a series with Richard Hammond, in fact. Yay! Yeah. you know, we do all, I do all, you know, we all do wish him well in Leeds, but that was a nasty, bloody nasty thing to happen. But the series I did, Massive Speed, where I did get to do some not 300 miles an hour jet car, so I would not have done that. I would have chickened out and said, not me. But I did get to go on a thing called the Maglev, the Transrapid Railway in Germany, which today had a fatal accident, killing 23 people in Germany. And I went on at the King of Shade powerboat, which is 105 miles an hour on water, which is actually quite fast in Plymouth Sound. Because on water, it's obviously being unpredictable. It's much more, you know, tricky to go faster on water than it is on land, in a sense. But that also had a bad crash 2 weeks after I went on it. So there's some spooky things happening at the moment in the world of speed, you know. So exactly, it's a lottery out there, and. You know, it's just very ironic that these things have happened all within the last few weeks. It's just, you know, obviously the main thing, you know, we're thinking about is Richard's crash, but I just hope he's going to pull through. And the signs, early though they are at the moment, is that he, you know, seems to be pretty intact. But, you know, fingers crossed for him.
Right, my turn. I just need to look because I thought. Actually, I know what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the VisFX guys.
Unfortunately, not Mike Tucker, who was probably one of my favourite people in the world.
Pete Tyler's definitely going to be here.
And he's bringing, he told us exclusively, again, I'm even talking exclusive.
Oh, yes.
He's bringing some stuff that he shocks that hasn't actually been seen yet.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. Apart stuff. From by him, of course. Yes.
Hopefully we'll have some Who stuff, actually. I mean, I'm definitely going to take the opportunity to ask a lot of questions about how their role in Series 2 of Who has actually decreased and what their role for Series 3 is going to be.
Because, interestingly, I was looking, there was Doctor Who magazine's Series 2 companion, and in the filming schedule for New Earth, it says BBC Model Effects Unit, because they also worked on New Earth. They only became the model unit. You know, I think after New Earth, actually.
I thought they disbanded before.
Thought they did as well, but it was...
Actually,
It was always told that the Christmas Invasion would be the last thing the BBC model unit worked on, but I think they also worked on some early episodes.
Christmas Invasion and New Earth were in the same production block.
Yeah, they were.
That would explain that.
But it says in Doctor Who Guide, BBC model unit smoke effects.
All right.
So... I'm wondering how much.
They got a smart machine.
Yeah, how much have they done that we just haven't seen?
They did K9.
You're listening to WhoCast.
Apart from everything that people have mentioned, I'm also intrigued by Smeg or No Smeg.
Yeah, I'm looking for taking part.
Do you see what they've done? It's like Smeg, Deal or
like
No
a bird's
Deal.
Egg.
It's like Deal or No Deal, but because it's Red Dwarf, right, that they put Smeg there.
And I'm very confused by the joke in the programme. Our very own take on Deal or No Deal, explanation point, hosted by Joel Jedmonds.
I've only just realised that that's what they've done.
Yes.
I'm sitting here sneering at everyone, and then I don't realise the most obvious joke in the entire booklet.
Seeing as you mentioned you were working with Spitting Image in your early career, I want to know, a friend of mine was torturing me by playing the Chicken song all the time from his mobile phone. Were you on that? Were you one of the voices on that song?
No. I think they did it with singers, proper singers, people who can sing. And I did waggle the dolly in the plane. There was a scene in the aircraft where they're going, you know, over to Tarmelinos or wherever, and I was, I think I waggled John Gielgud or something in the background. It was good. It was number one, wasn't it? It was a good thing, Spitting Image. But yeah, I was just a puppeteer in that one. Okay, chat, middle table. Yeah, you.
Hello, Mr. Barry.
Hello, sir.
Hello. I just wanted to ask about your impressions. Are you actually still doing them, and have you got any new ones that you're developing? And if so, can you do some?
I still kind of sometimes do them, but I don't, because I'm not in that area anymore. You never feel the pressure to do them, to try and work up new ones, you know. God, well, what do I say? I used to do George Bush Senior.
It's the same, isn't it?
I do all these old ones you're talking about. They're running away. But yeah, I don't really think of anyone new to do because I don't, you know, it's not what I'm in at the moment, you know. I end up, you know, listening to the radio. If I'm listening to a football match or something, I'll do a little impersonation of Alan Green, the radio commentator, or John Murray, you know, people like that, you know. But I mean, no one knows who they are anyway, so. You know, Alan Green, that's absolutely ridiculous. The referee needs him. He needs to get shot. And then you got John Murray sort of goes, the people over there don't know just how difficult it is. So I do, you know, I just sort of, you know, sit there, I must have got a prat for my wife, so, you know, sitting there doing impersonations to people. But yeah, I do them, but and I do the old ones, oh yes, mirror, hello, hello. And, you know, obviously Tony Blair, I continue to do him. I mean, I've got this country into the biggest mess it's ever been in. And, you know, I'm going to get out and let someone else deal with it. So.
What about you, David Coleman?
Extraordinary, yeah. I do them for kind of fun when I'm looking way back, but to me it's you know, I'm really a big fan of seeing the likes of, you know, Alistair McGowan and the guy who does George Bush very well. What's his name?
Rory Bremner?
John Colshaw, I think. I used to do the old to George Bush Senior when he used to come out with those ridiculous words like "We are doing things with all." Metaphysity, or something. This kind of thing, these kind of strange words, you know, that no one ever understood. You know? And of course, I did Reagan. Well, that's one up the ass for those who think I'm an asshole. So, yeah, they were the right signs. Paul Daniels, you may like it or you may not. And John Gielgud. Yes. Oh, yeah. I can do him! I can do an impersonation of him! Hey! I'm not going to bother sticking around him! I'm just going to shout from the other side of him! Hey, Chris! But you've just done him! I don't struggle to do Craig at all. I think I do a very good one. Hey, Chris, my man. Why did you leave the show? I think the show. I mean this sincerely, but I think the show has gone downhill since you left. I mean, there's no life. There's no life in the rehearsals. It's just so bad. I mean, there's no disrespect to the other guys. You know, they're good. You know. Well, like, they're all a fucking pain in the ass, to be honest with you. Chris, I want you to come back to the show, man. You gonna do that for me, man? Kissy kiss.
So, it's now, what time is it? 12:30 on Friday night.
Don't listen to that thing, that's
really wrong. An unusually lively Friday night. We still haven't actually found out who's won the quiz. We're literally chomping at the bit. I am actually chomping at a bit right now. Actually, it's worth mentioning that, Danny Stevenson of Wallpaper fame.
Hello.
Is here.
He's joining us.
He's
joining
us.
His room.
It's his room. Overall, I'm pleased with Friday night, and I think I'm more impressed than I was last year for Friday night.
And for once, that's some questions.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They can see. Then you see the questions were okay.
They were different.
The audience.
They were different.
Yeah.
At least that's something.
There were an element of twattishness in the audience.
Yeah, there was. I mean, every time Chris said anything vaguely good.
He got a round of applause.
He got a round of applause and whooping and cheering. It was all very American.
And some of the questions, there was, at the beginning, there was three, not consecutive, but three within about six questions, whereby drama students, who were all sat at the same table, asking for tips of how to get into acting.
And
how
to get agents. And
how to get an agent. You just think, well, if you're on a course, then your teachers should ideally teach you these things in the first place. If not, it's simple common sense. Like Chris reeled off three things, which were sending CVs to an agent, putting a showreel together, and getting a decent photo.
Photograph!
And this person had not done any of it.
Yeah, which you think is pretty fundamental stuff if you want to be an actor.
It's like,
I've actually got a showreel, even though I'm not an actor.
It's like, you know, I want to be an actor. All right, I'm really, really wanting to be an actor. Have we done this? No. Have we done this? No.
You don't.
Have we done this? No. You're obviously not trying hard enough.
Obviously, you like the idea.
I'm pretty sure that's the way
it's
meant to work.
The practicalities of it.
But I mean, you didn't realise that there's actually work involved if you want to be an actor.
Let's have your question. Will you be here on Sunday when Craig comes?
No.
Oh. But I did speak to Craig. I spoke to Craig yesterday. And he said he was going to try and, you know, do his utmost to get here tonight. But obviously that hasn't worked out. So he's going to be here on Sunday. But yeah, he sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty positive at the moment. And I'll obviously let him expand on that on Sunday. But yeah, it's obviously, you know, sad not to see him. It's good to see Hattie, of course. But the other chaps and briefly spoke to Danny. Typical Danny. He left a message the other day. In fact, I was in the middle of a voice recording thing, and he called up and said, "I can't speak to you now. Let's speak in an hour's time." I tried to call him, got a message, the thing, and then we hadn't spoken. So I don't know what that was about, but. You know, he's a daddy now, so I'm sure he's matured and become a proper family man that we all have to be every now and then. Excellent. I'm pity him. I'm not be able to have a chat with him about that, but you know, he seems to be in good form anyway.
The quiz was excellent. The presentation of the quiz was excellent. It was done by Liam Fretwell, who's a new member of the club. It was all very swish. It was all done. It was all done as part of a video. And it was nice, you know, a mixture of pictures, clips, just the normal questions, sound files,
and some really fucking difficult general.
All set to the backdrop of the various DVD artwork, CG artwork stills. All looked very classy, all very nice, and I was very impressed with it.
I'd just like to point out, in case I forget later, we need to point out at this point that Peter Tyler, the director of photography for Red Dwarf special effects, and they're working on various Doctor Who related things, is pissed as a fart. He is absolutely slaughtered, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, he is. He talked to us briefly about Ganymede and Titan.
And that's another thing, Alan Brennan?
Alan Brennan has
a black eye.
He has a black eye as well.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I did ask him, and he said, I'll have to go back.
Did he say the badger did it?
He said something like it was to do with something with kittens. He said the vicious bastards. And that's what he said. So he said, ask me tomorrow at 4:30. So I will do just that.
Yeah, look forward to tomorrow. Actually, I think tomorrow is going to be the best lineup. We've got Robert Llewellyn in the morning, have we?
Yes.
Llewellyn early, 10:00 tomorrow. Danny John Jules, I think, is Sunday. I don't actually have the a program in front of me. Craig Charles is still up, still on for Sunday. There's been no announcement that he's cancelling. He's due to arrive.
Chris said that Craig even tried to get here today.
Yeah, which is
even though he's not due until Sunday.
Yeah,
but the story is he's going to turn up tomorrow, i.e. Saturday.
Yeah,
stay the night, just, you know, hang around, stay the night, and do his Q&A on Sunday, which is great.
Yeah,
which is dedication that I wouldn't expect from Craig Charles.
The funniest thing with Craig once, well, he's lots of funny incidents with Craig, obviously, but when when Danny was, I keep telling this every year, but he always makes me laugh. When Danny was in the dressing room. This was back in the makeup room, back in 1998, whenever it was, you know. And Danny was sort of saying, "I think if you look at us guys, I think you look at us guys. We've like aged well. I mean, look normal. I mean, when he looked 50 when he was born. Yeah. I mean, so what I'm saying, he's not aged. Happy, don't age. Ace." Yeah, that ace is ace. See, don't age. You know, you look the same, but the hair's a bit funny, but you're still the same. Craig, don't age. Black guys don't age as much. You know, so we look the same. And Craig sat there and says, "Danny, let's face it, man. We're Dad's army in space, and you know it." he kind of had a point.
Yeah, Craig Charles does have an opportunity to really increase his standing, in our opinions. And it's almost worked out perfectly with this whole crack thing. I mean, he's...
Jesus!
He's had... Well, no, he's...
Drop a bomb!
He's had his big sort of, downfall with it.
Yeah.
In the last week... He's come out about.
He's come out.
You know, he's actually said, you know, that he's in rehab. He's just been given a caution. He's now at a point where he needs a big ego boost, and he needs to reaffirm. You know, I reckon he's actually going to. In the past, where he's made snide comments about fans and been very sort of dismissive, and the fact that he's not been to a DJ for 8 years says a lot. The fact now that he's coming to DJ. Almost as if he's just going back to,
in the light
going
of
back to his roots, you know. Maybe well. Do you know? Just
yeah, going back to his roots. That's the thing. He needs to be around people who adore him.
Yeah.
To make him feel better. Oh no, probably reading into this far too much, but he can't be a happy bunny at the moment.
No, he can't be.
He's been publicly disgraced. He's coming off a terrible drug to be on in the first place. He's having to do rehab. He's been shamed. He needs to be around people who don't
who
care
actually
about
respect
that.
Him for, the, for what he's done rather than what he's like for what he has
what he's
done.
Famous
what he's not, yeah,
rather
exactly.
Than what he's infamous for.
Exactly.
And I think he'll come out of this and it's going to give him a big boost, hopefully.
I mean, if we were to believe it was a Naughty Friday thing. I mean, we are digressing here, but I actually think we can talk about it now. I mean, the whole thing is over. It's all public. I mean, if the Mirror can fuck on about it, at least, you know, we can try and be a little better informed and less biased. But, I mean, I think I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, you know, it sounds as if it wasn't
crack your
speech. It's heroin. You didn't even know that. I do. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not very interesting. <point. laughs> No,
that's staying.
The point, yeah, the point is that all signs so far for James Bull's first DJ are
second
fair
DJ.
To good.
Is second DJ?
Well, last year
it was kind of the crossover period.
Yeah,
mainly organised by James.
Mainly James came.
And he just ran it kind of thing.
Yeah,
although I did notice when James introduced Hattie Heydrich, he said Hattie Heydrich.
Yeah,
which was nice.
Good old grammar there. Actually, it's spoken grammar, pronunciation.
He spoke it spelt wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we really are rambling here.
Yeah,
that's what a podcast is, though. It's just you just
well,
sit
I don't know,
and
I
talk
mean,
about what's on your
I
mind.
I kind of feel it should be a bit more organised.
We'll tighten it up, don't worry. So they wonder of editing.
Chap at the front here with the white socks. I've just noticed. That's it. What was the most fun, and I mean fun, to make out of Brickus and Red Dwarf? I think Brutus was good fun in that we didn't, you know, the hours were shorter and the director was happy with the third take. But it was also slightly, you know, and I would sort of say, but that was crap. You know, we were fluffing, you know, we didn't even say the right lines. He goes, oh, but Chris, you should look at the take as a whole. It had a lovely feel, you know. Like going, oh, yeah, but we were shite and people are looking at us. But there's only occasions that happened, you know. But overall, Brutus was a much more comfortable show to make. Because, I mean...
The one you could go home to afterwards and laugh more and say, I've had great fun today. Which was the one?
Well, neither of them. They were bloody hard work. I mean... But I think Brutus was quite fun insofar as more relaxed. But Red Dwarf was... I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Red Dwarf was probably the series that you've got to rank just a hair's breadth higher than Brutus, because it's a much more... It made its stamp, I think, a little bit better than Brutus did. And, you know, Brutus, I did want to try and make an independent production and make it like a Red Dwarf thing, make every... You know, seen, you know, produce them with a fine tooth comb, but it always remained in house. The writers didn't want to come with me on that, so it remained in house. And it was working in house, the BBC then was like working for the civil service, you know, you just got in there, hit your marks, did your lines, and they're all very happy, and off you went, you know. Whereas, you know, we did that, and I'd imagine if Doug was producing Brutus, he would have sort of said, right, okay, yeah, that's not bad, but. Let's do it properly. So, you know, lots of little tricks that maybe we could have, and maybe, you know, if some of the British people heard me say this, they'd be saying you're being completely unkind to the whole thing. But it's the way I felt, and I said it at the time. I said to the writers, you know, there's some things here we should really work at to get absolutely nailed down, to maximise the humour and whatever. And they sort of said, oh, Chris, it's going to be so difficult. There's so many people to deal with. And I think, well, that's what happens. You've got to deal with various people to achieve success. And, you know, Red Dwarf, you know, people would get upset in rehearsals occasionally. You know, Doug would say, this has got to happen for that. That's not working. And people would get a little bit tetchy. And that's, you've got to get to that. You've got to do that to make the really good stuff sing on the night, you know? So, yeah, they were both great fun to do, but Britus was the, you know, I can't really work out. It's almost like, you know, if I was David Beckham, all right? And come with me on this one. And he's always supported Manchester United throughout his whole life, and the only team, apart from Real Madrid, of course, now, the only team that he ever really wants to play for in England, really, in his heart of heart, is Manchester United, you know? And if he went to play for Southampton or Charlton Athletic, for example, that would be, you know, it would be okay. You know, it would be great, but, and he's still playing football, wonderful. So to me, doing Red Dwarf was like David Beckham playing for Manchester United, and doing Britus was maybe like playing for, you know, Newcastle or Charlton Athletic. Do you know what I mean?
That answers the question, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, but I don't support Manchester United, by the way.
I'm Stumpel.
Chelsea. Oh, never popular. Everyone hates them.
Thanks.
But you see what I mean? So, but Britus was tremendous fun. But Red Dwarf was in many ways the bigger footprint.
The new Better Than Life has been doled out to members today, this weekend.
Here we go.
And it, on first glance, there's slight improvements. New logo done by Mick Hayes, and it's excellent.
It's quality.
It's
based on my logo from last issue.
The Photoshop job on the cast picture on the front is scary at best. And on page...
I'm going to reference that. Is it page 19?
There you go.
Yeah, on page 12.
Page 12.
There was an article called Better Than Life, an ode to a Red Dwarf fan. I wrote this, Jonathan Capps, me, but I've been credited as Ian Symes.
You're both the same person, the people don't realise if you are the same
person. I'm quite happy with this turn of events.
Well, the thing is, you haven't read it yet, you might think it's shit. But, I mean, the way I see it, if they're trying to encourage people, I mean, Paul Gannon had a go at fans a few months ago for not contributing enough to Better Than Life. Now, if fans are going to contribute things, and then they find that they have been miscredited with fuck all thanks attached to any of it, and, you know, just no respect for the work that's come in, then they can fuck off, basically. They're not going to get anything.
Why should we? You know, we've both been fucked over today with stuff that we've written for the fan club. Why should you and me do anything for them again?
Exactly. We have no reason to. We fucking will, because we're stupid.
This is true.
I honestly think that it will get better in the next issue. Because that's the relaunch, that they'll have a whole new focus on it. I know, you know, we know from personal experience over the last few weeks, we've relaunched Ganymede and Titan. There's a whole new sort of energy about it, and a whole new, you know, a whole new drive to actually get things done. And I honestly believe that's what happened with Better Than Life. So I will contribute to the next magazine, you know, and I'm just going to make my feelings very well known.
Okay, chat over there.
You mentioned you just finished Massive Speed. What are you working on next?
Right. I've actually got quite a lot of corporate work going on, which is like, you know, award ceremonies, conference hosting, after dinner speaking, sort of dates, you know, for you know, companies and corporations like between now and sort of early next year. And I'm probably going to concentrate on that. Massive Speed and the like of it takes me away from home quite a lot. You know, the children, young children, you know, at school, I kind of want to see them in this sort of crucial and enjoyable part of their life and lives in my life. So I'm going to just take the foot off the gas for a bit. And, you know, I'm going to try and go to a few conventions and do the corporate work, keep the shekels tripping into the mortgage. And hopefully I won't have to sell too many things to keep a walk away from the door. And if something good comes along, I'll do that. But little tiddly-poo bits. I don't know whether the documentary work is incredibly tiring and time-consuming. I think I've done the massive thing now. 30 half-hour episodes of those, I think, has covered, you know, massive engines, massive machines, massive speed. You know, I'd love to do more presenting, but in a slightly different light. You know, I was sticking with history and engineering and transport and all that, but maybe something slightly more specific, you know, pick on maybe one thing and do that. So we'll see.
Anyway, that's Friday night. That's us signing off.
We're going to get stoned.